Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Check out our latest 10-question census quiz. For this round, they are all questions about the demography of New York City. It begins with the question, which borough of New York is expected to grow the fastest in the next 10 years? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for our 10 questions that count census quiz. We'll talk now about the British street artist Banksy and his new film, Exit Through the Gift Shop. You've probably seen Banksy's work, whether you know it or not, on buildings, on billboards, or next to the real art in art museums, but you've never seen him. He keeps his identity under wraps, and Exit Through the Gift Shop, billed as the first street art disaster movie, is a film about a film that was originally supposed to be about Banksy, by Terry Guetta, a compulsive Frenchman with a camera and street art connections, but it turned into a film about Terry by Banksy. Here's a clip of Banksy's distorted voice from the film.
I mean, the thing is that Terry had all this amazing footage of all this stuff that, you know, in this tiny world of street art was kind of important, and it was never going to happen again. So it felt right to at least make something that you could actually watch about it. So I thought, you know, maybe I could have a go. I mean, I don't know how to make a film, but obviously that hadn't stopped Terry.
So it's ultimately a pretty scathing critique of the art world. But since the film was released last weekend, people in the media have been questioning whether the whole film is a con and that maybe Banksy has again duped us all. Fellow street artist who was also central to the film, Shepard Fairey of the Obama Hope poster and Obey Giant fame, is here with me now to talk about the film and his own exhibition opening next week, which we'll also touch on. Shepard Fairey, so nice to have you back on the program. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So for people who don't know, who is Banksy? In the movie, you only see him in the shadows with his face obscured and his voice distorted. By a bizarre coincidence, the second person on the show this hour with a distorted voice. But you know him. What can you tell us about him?
He's an artist who has put a lot of great work up in public and prefers to stay anonymous, I think, both to give him the freedom to do what he wants to do and the freedom not to have to do things like this.
Like what?
Like this. Be on the radio. Do press. He controls the way his message is put out very carefully. And I think that's also having to do with his idea that the young kid aspiring to change the world is a lot more inclined to do so if they can project their fantasy of who Banksy is and emulate his model rather than have to deal with the disappointment of him just being a regular mortal.
And why is he important? What's the significance of his art?
He's important because he's put really smart political commentary out on the streets that's accessible, it's populist, it's and it's in a sense both profound and very, very basic. When I see a Banksy, I frequently say, that's an idea that resonates through and through, but I didn't think of it.
Give me an idea of one of your favorite Banksys.
Well, you know, there's so many of them that are great, but I think there's a little girl holding a balloon that's shaped like a heart that's let go and taken by the wind, this idea of loss, I make art because I'm not a good enough poet. You know, all these ideas of validating being a human, things against war, the helicopter with a Christmas bow around it, things that you know take something that we're familiar with and actually make it as absurd as it should be again. The idea of war being something we totally accept, he really takes it and makes it as absurd as it should be. The idea of Bush landing on the aircraft carrier with the applause sign being held up. I mean, these things are ridiculous, and we should recognize them as ridiculous.
So explain the premise of the film, or let me take a shot at it, and you can elaborate, because it's kind of complicated. Terry started filming you and other street artists. He's a compulsive video shooter. He promised to make his film with his rare footage. Turned out he had no idea how to make a film. So Banksy takes over the footage and makes this film about him. Terry becomes Mr. Brainwash, this ridiculous poseur, has a big show in L.A. in 2008, and the film becomes Banksy's critique of the art world. Is that more or less what happened?
Yeah, that is. And, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. A lot of people think it's some sort of art prank. And really, it isn't, but it's a very shrewd way of turning the tables on a situation that was very inconvenient for Banksy and for me. Terry had this great footage of us, and we make street art. It's short-lived. It's ephemeral. And we both felt like large chunks of our lives were missing because Terry was holding them hostage. And Banksy was just smarter about how he dealt with the problem, which was, I will tell this street art story through telling the story of Terry, and then also, as he always does, comment on the very thing he participates in. You know, he's made graphics of both hipsters lined up to buy Destroy Capitalism T-shirts, and this idea of really illuminating the good and the bad, I think, is an important aspect of this film.
So here's another clip of Banksy from the film. This is his reaction to Terry's first cut of the film.
It was an hour and a half of unwatchable nightmare trailers, essentially like somebody with a short attention span with a remote control flicking through a cable box of 900 channels.
Peace to the whole world. You have to keep an eye on the big picture.
I told him I'd never seen anything like it, and I wasn't lying about that. Yeah, I was faced with that terrible thing when somebody shows you their work and everything about it is shit, so you don't really know where to start.
Again, Banksy being bleeped there to protect our FCC license and having his voice modulated to protect his identity. So at that point, the film turns around and becomes about Terry, who starts making art and calls himself Mr. Brainwash. His work is totally about making money, and he's more concerned with the hype around his show than with the art. He's basically seen as this buffoon whose work is totally derivative of other artists, including yours and Banksy's. But some people have had a somewhat similar critique of your work, that you take other people's images and appropriate them and then sell the work for more money than, say, the photojournalist who took the photo would ever get for their shot. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that everything builds upon the past, and I'd like to think that what I'm doing has more ideas, more substance, maybe not more originality. Who knows? But I think it's coming from a place in me that's that is honest and authentic and inspired. And Terry's work is really it's a pastiche. And you know, stuff I did earlier in my career, I was developing my aesthetic, and a lot of that was through emulating things I admired. But it took years for that to incubate into an art career. Terry did that in about a year and a half. He hired a huge staff of people. Terry is Mr. Brainwash, by the way. And also, he doesn't even know who some of his subjects are. You know, I actually genuinely care about the subjects in my work. They're people that really inspired me. You know, I think that's a distinction.
So it's about genuineness versus commercial motivation.
I don't even think Terry's motivation is commercial. I think it's very L.A.-centric in that he just thinks that it's about fame. It's about exposure and fame. And, you know, part of me believes that the idea of getting work out there and making a splash, especially in a sea of mediocrity, why not? But I definitely don't think it should be selling for a lot of money.
So here's another clip from the film. The first voice is Wendy Asher, an art collector.
I saw Banksy and I thought he was a genius. And every person I told about it bought something, like people who have Picassos and, you know, Mondrians and Paul Klee and, God, I don't even know who else. They have, I mean, serious collections.
So then these famous auction houses, all of a sudden they were selling street art and everything was going a bit crazy and suddenly it all became about the money, but it never was about the money.
All right. So speaking of art collectors, you have a gallery show called May Day that I want to make sure to mention before we run out of time, opening on May 1st. At Deitch Projects, you've had a lot of gallery shows, but if part of the original appeal of street art is the illegal, subversive nature of it, how can you have shows in normal galleries within the art world establishment and maintain your street cred? Is that ever an issue?
Yeah, sure. It's an issue. But, you know, I think you could ask any musician who's played an acoustic guitar on a corner, how can you make a CD? How can you go play in a venue? It's a fairly unrealistic model to try to maintain if that's what's required for street cred. For me, it was always about populism, about putting the work out without any boundaries, that people had access to it. But also, it's important to be able to fund that. And now I go bigger and further with my street art than I ever did when I first started, because I'm selling work and I'm able to fund my my travels and my production of materials that I'm basically giving away on the street. So it's a cross-pollination, in my opinion.
And you're working on a piece on Houston and Bowery. Is that sanctioned by the city, or are you breaking the law there?
No, that's I'm not breaking the law there. I'm actually on probation right now, so I'm being very careful about my outdoor activities. That's a wall where Keith Haring had originally done a mural in the 80s, and it's owned by a guy who's friends with Jeffrey Deitch, my gallerist, and they offered me the wall. It's a really, really great wall. Thousands of people go by there an hour. So it's, yeah, it's going up right now.
And the New York Times' Jeanette Katsoulis wrote about the film that it's a film that looks like a documentary but feels like a monumental con. And it's not surprising, given Banksy's reputation for stunts and subversive acts, that this question comes up. Vanity Fair asks it too. You've been out in the press insisting that it's the real thing, which to some people only makes them more suspect that it's fake. Try again. Is it real?
Yes, it's real. And anybody who sees the film that sees when Terry meets me at Kinko's in 2000, and I look a good bit younger and so does my wife, that yeah, sure, the moon landing might be faked and Obama might be from Kenya, but it's probably difficult to take 10 years off a person's life.
You and Banksy have mass appeal, but I think it's fair to say that you aren't the stars within the high-end art world. Is that the way you like it?
It's just not my aspiration. You know, and as far as I think that street art's an important movement that should be recognized in art history, if that would be helped by being an art star, you know, maybe I would care about it, but not in any further capacity than that. I just I want people to be inspired to participate. It's about, really, it's about expression and democracy to me. It's just how I choose to communicate.
How do you feel about Obama at this point in his administration after you've been so associated with the Obama Hope poster?
I'm in a lot of ways disappointed by Obama. I'm glad the watered down health care plan went through, because it would have been political death for Obama otherwise. And, you know, when you listen to the stuff McCain's saying, it reminds me that we could be in much worse shape. But, you know, I don't think he's the guy who was going to transform things the way I wanted. But then I just fall back on the idea that it's my responsibility to push for the things I care about and not leave it up to Obama.
Shepard Fairey, the film is called Exit Through the Gift Shop. He also has the Deitch Project show opening on May 1st. And I guess that's through May 29th. And people can also see street part of that at Bowery in Houston.
Yep.
In progress right now.
Yep, big mural, 66 by 20 feet.
Thanks a lot for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Evergan, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith produced this program. We had intern help today from Sydney Beveridge and Amanda Magnus, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.